Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fans. You got me and Andrew talking about the Saints defense, previewing it. Like, he did serious football talk. I did jokes. That was your extra podcast for May. So, Andrew, he's beating old women at tennis tonight, so he probably won't join us. So it's Kevin's joining us again, thank goodness, and Dave. Thankfully, the Saints, nobody got arrested. And nobody got injured, so there's no Saints news except for they signed Bryce Harris. And if he plays in a game, Kevin, you'll be happy that you weren't watching in the fall. I can tell you that.
Okay, well, good.
I mean, good. Because he's like the 10th offensive lineman on the depth chart. He's like behind the starting five, Kelamete, Remchek, Landon Turner, and Khalif. What's his name? Khalif Barnes. Him too. Like, so that makes 10. That makes 9, so he'd be number 10 on the depth chart. So,
isn't he also behind the guy slinging beer in section 635?
Yeah, he is, because the guy in slinging beer in section 635 is versatile. He can play guard or center or give you a beer. As I'm drinking now, Shiner Bock Shiner Strawberry Blonde. It's very good.
I'm drinking Gnarly Barley.
It's
bright side.
It's like drinking a sweet tart. It's delicious. So since we don't have any Saints news between like now and training camp, when we do these podcasts, we're gonna do some preview stuff starting in June and early July. But going up to them, we're gonna just do shorter podcasts with talking about like topics and different things. And this topic that I came up with today is, Kevin, if the Saints don't improve upon 7-9, is 2017 going to be the end of Sean Payton, Drew Brees? Not necessarily Mickey Loomis, because he runs the Pelicans on his off days, so he's tied into that, so he's probably not going anywhere. But like, if they go 7-9 or worse, is it going to be like next January? Is it all going to be over? Like, no, Drew Brees is going to walk. Sean Payton's going to take a year off and whatever. Like, is it, like, do you think it'll be over if they go 7-9 or worse again?
So we're assuming. So okay, the question is specifically 7-9 or worse.
Yeah.
I think I could see that as a strong possibility.
I wouldn't.
The only way I would bank on it being quote unquote blown up is if they went like, is if they just completely bottomed out. I'm talking like 4-12 or something.
Well, then that means Drew
if they
Brees
went
gets hurt.
if they went seven and nine again, it's like that's the thing. It's like it's not bad enough. It's like it's not necessarily bad enough to warrant a blow up, but because it's happened so often, that's what really makes you consider.
They can't tag Drew Brees though, so he can walk.
So I guess the more intriguing thing for me is, well, what if they go 8-8, or what if they go 9-7 and just barely miss the playoffs by a game?
Well, I think then it depends on how did they go 8-8 and how did they go 9-7. Like say they start out at like 9-3 and then Drew Brees gets hurt and they, you know, Fatty Daniels can't get them a win or whatever, and they crash and burn and finish, and they go 8-8 or 9-7. Then it's like, oh damn, you know, if Drew Brees hadn't gotten hurt, they'd have clearly been a playoff team, but he's 30, he's going to be 38, 39, and he's hurt. Do you sign him again? So then it gets, that gets a really complicated scenario. Or if they go 8-8 and they have to dig themselves out of a hole again, I don't know. I mean, Dave, what do you think the odds are if they go 7-9 or worse? Do you think, what's the odds of them blowing it up?
I don't think they're going to blow it. I don't think Drew Brees has any plans on going anywhere.
I don't know, man. He always chases the money.
So what? The Saints wouldn't pay him? I mean, I think the Saints would be happy. I think Mickey Loomis and the front office would be more than happy to keep Drew.
I do too, but what if he misses? Like,
and I think.
What if they go like 7-9 and he misses a month? Do you want to pay him? Give him 2 years? What if he wants like 2 years, $45 million?
If you're bringing in an injury into the equation, then. And missing time a month, which is a significant amount of time, then yes, then okay, then that's a whole different ball of wax. But if you're talking about them just having the same damn season they've had for the last 3-4 years, 7-9,
and he's awesome,
you know, Drew Brees is healthy, yeah, I mean, then I see Peyton being on the chopping block in front of
Ooh, that's
of
interesting.
Brees.
That's interesting, Kevin. I don't know if I see that. I think they're tied at the hip forever, and I don't necessarily see the Saints firing. I couldn't see them firing Peyton and keeping Brees. I mean, that would really surprise me. Held.
Wait, you were asking me like.
Yeah, like, Dave said he thought if they go 7-9 again, like Sean Payton is more likely to get whacked than they not keep Brees. I think that's interesting. I think it's both or none. Like I couldn't see the Saints keeping Drew Brees next year and getting rid of Peyton and bringing it and elevating Carmichael or bringing somebody else in.
I don't think they're going to be elevating Carmichael. I don't think that's
All right, that was a bad example. But like bringing in Gruden.
Okay, well, I don't see Drew Brees hanging, like staying if Sean Payton gets fired.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just don't see it. I don't know.
So you see him picking up and moving to a whole nother city. Look at it this way. If Peyton gets fired, he's going to have a new coach with the Saints. If Peyton gets fired and he leaves and goes somewhere else, he's still going to have a new coach. What does it matter? In either situation, he's got a new coach and maybe a slightly different system. But Brees has been around so long and is so good at what he does. To be honest with you, I think if a new coach comes in New Orleans, Brees is going to be like, look, this is what we're doing. This is how we're running the offense. It's not going to be the coach's decision. It's going to be Brees' decision. And Brees will be like, when I'm gone in 2 years, 3 years, whatever, then you can run it however you want
to
run.
Here's the thing, though. Brees, his kids, they go half the year to school in New Orleans, half the year to school in San Diego. Like, I don't necessarily think him picking up is that big of a deal for him. Like, if it's fighting,
what do you mean half? They go to the second half of school in San Diego.
That's what I think. I think that's true. But wow. I mean,
that's weird.
But I guess also, Kevin, like, there's no real landing spot for Brees. Like, he's not going to the Chargers. Have Phillip Rivers, San Francisco, I guess maybe, but they're awful. Would he want to go there? And the Rams, I mean, they're not going to hit the eject button 1 year for golf. I mean, they're not going to. If Goff would have to be really fucking bad for the Rams to hit eject on that, right? So he doesn't have many landing spots out west.
Hmm. Because the Niners are a dumpster fire. Cardinals are.
Ooh,
I think
Palmer's
still with the Cardinals, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they could hit the Cardinals. I mean, Palmer's always hurt. That would be an interesting one.
Yeah, but you know, how much are they paying Palmer? I mean, would you want to put so much money on the two quarterbacks?
Well, no. I mean, they would hit the. I'm sure that what they would do is they would hit the eject button on Palmer and then bring in Brees. You know, But that'd be, I don't know how much, I don't know like how much dead money they have to pay Palmer. But.
This is ridiculous. We're talking about Drew Brees going to the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like,
it's the off season and it's dead time.
It's off season.
I think
this is an interesting topic because look, if the Saints, their front schedule's brutal, I think it's a real possibility. And look, they didn't draft Mahomes because Kansas City jumped in front of them. But Kevin, they were thinking about it clearly. So like, the wheels are turning for the post Drew Brees era already. So like, it, you know, they ended up, maybe they lucked out and they're gonna, and they getting Lattimore works out better than Mahomes. I think it will, but it may not. And we may be kicking the day we don't get Mahomes. You don't know, but they were clearly thinking about it. So it isn't crazy to think that they might move on from Drew Brees after what they almost did on draft day, right?
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I guess I still can't believe they were thinking that. Who has confirmed this piece of information?
The Pat Mahomes, well, the two golfers that got to go in the war room, and the Saints didn't even deny it. They were like, we were looking at it. The Saints said, look, if Lattimore would have been there at 11, we'd have picked him no matter what. But if Lattimore would have been gone, we'd have picked Mahomes. And Buffalo was like, yeah, if we stayed at 10, we were picking Lattimore. So, I mean, like, it was going to be in all likelihood, going to be Mahomes.
Jesus.
So, Kevin, give me, before we get to the questions, which we have quite a few, give me a rating of 1 to 10, your odds of Drew Brees being the Saints quarterback in 2018 on a scale of 1 to 10. How likely?
One being not likely at all, 10 being very likely. I would say I'd say a 7.5.
I'd say 8.5.
I'd say 7 because he's 38 and you never know. Like, the only thing I think Dave's right. I think the only thing that derails it is health. I don't see Brees playing 16 games and not being good enough to where the Saints would be like, nah, we don't want you back, bro. Like, I can't see that. So before we get to questions, which thank God we have a few. We had a little I don't know what you call it. Chris Cornell of Soundgarden, Audioslave, he died, and he's like, I mean, Kevin, he's on the Mount Rushmore of like alternative music, right? You got him, you got Kurt Cobain, Eddie Vedder. Who would be the fourth guy on the Mount Rushmore of alternative music, maybe?
If Juge is here, he's saying Scott Weiland.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm just saying that's what Juge would say.
Yeah.
I would say you're throwing Layne Staley up there from Alice in Chains.
Oh yeah.
Ugh,
yeah.
I hate Alice in Chains.
Speaking, and here comes Dave with his bad opinion.
I gotta agree with hell there, Dave. I mean, come on, you don't like
Alice
now,
in Chains?
Did you just not like alternative? Did you just not like? Did you just not like alternative
the singing
music?
With like the two voices and the tones that the two voices make?
Here comes the rooster. So who's that? Is that Juge?
I don't know.
I picked an interesting time to show up.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking grunge music and Juge just chimed in after breaking that old lady's serve.
Juge, I hope the backup works because whatever you did, you called in on the fucking video stream and ruined everything. So
I just returned the phone call of whatever called me, dude.
and Dave drops out. So Juge, who's on the Mount Rushmore of alternative music?
Of alternative music?
Yeah.
So like Bush, Smashing Pumpkins would be in play. Band,
yeah.
What about Tool? Is Tool in play?
It could be anybody. Yes. Yeah, Tool is in play.
Are we talking like fame? Or are we talking my personal choices?
Fame.
Yours. Yours based upon criteria like fame and such, and talent and what have you.
Okay, well, talent for me is STP, Stone Temple Pilots, number one. Not because as a band maybe they weren't the best. I think they were, but I just think they were solid at everything. So lead singer, lead guitar, bass, drummer, you know, musically, every guy was equally solid. And I feel like some of the great bands were weighted towards one guy. So I would put them number one.
And who was the lead singer of STP?
Scott Weiland.
There we go. Thank you.
Yep. I mean, for me, I love Tool. I think they're incredible musically, so I would put them number two. And then three is kind of a tie for me, Alice in Chains and Soundgarden.
Yeah. If you rated, and Dave, you can jump in and give your Chris Cornell hatred if you want. Would you say how much of Chris Cornell's post Soundgarden stuff is better than how much of it is better than anything he did with Soundgarden? Kevin or Andrew, feel free to.
Oh, I thought you said Dave.
No, I was saying Dave can jump in with his bad music opinion whenever he feels like it.
Oh, well, Juge, I think, fucked something up when he called in. He, like, fucked up my whole. I was texting you guys. I Chris Cornell's voice irritates me. I've never liked it. I remember that summer, whatever it was, when Black Hole Sun was like. See, now my shit's fucked up again. and that song was so popular and everybody loved it, and I could not stand that song. And to this day, his voice still just annoys the hell out of me.
Kevin, do you what from? I thought I actually liked the Audioslave stuff better than Soundgarden. I know that's probably the minority opinion, but that's me. Is that a fair opinion to have?
I mean, I could. I wouldn't. I didn't get enough out of Audioslave. Like, I got both of their albums, but I didn't listen to them nearly enough to be able to say that they were any better than that, or even close to Soundgarden. Like, to me, Soundgarden just like got me at a certain age and spoke to me or whatever, but. Audioslave was still talented. I mean, Tom Morello on guitar was still killing it, and Chris Cornell still proved that he could sing and still had the killer pipes. So I actually think his solo stuff is what's going to be sort of, or what has been lost or downplayed in the last week or so, or less than a week since he passed. Dude, I only got to see Chris Cornell one time live. He was on tour for the solo album Euphoria Morning, and it was at the House of Blues, and he sang the hell out of everything. He got to demonstrate like that whole album.
That's a good album. That's a really good album.
Demonstrated range. He demonstrated real good range on that album.
So Andrew, give me your best Chris Cornell song and album, his whole catalog. Pick it.
Well, Super Unknown for me is the best album by Soundgarden. I was never a big fan of Black Hole Sun. That grew on me later, but I kind of hated that song, and I thought it was so lame that that's what they were famous for.
Like a Stone is my favorite one. And that's Audioslave.
That's good.
Audioslave. I liked Revelations, the song. The first album by them was good. I'm with Kevin. Like I love the idea, and I thought it was cool, but it just didn't really for me have the melody, the songwriting, and the darkness of Soundgarden, which, you know, kind of somehow Cornell and that band, they made darkness beautiful. That was kind of like the thing, that was the painting that they drew, and that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
So
you know, best super unknown best album for sure. I mean, for a long time, Spoon Man was probably my favorite tune.
Oh God, I fucking hate Spoon Man.
I'll say yeah.
Go ahead. I mean, The Day I Tried to Live and Blow Up the Outside World are probably my favorites. Those two.
Kevin, best song album.
Wait, Blow Up the Outside World. That was on the
Down Up the Upside.
Yeah. Okay, so my favorite album would be Super Unknown, and my favorite Chris Cornell song is actually Seasons.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's from the single soundtrack, and that, right? I mean, that is, again, Cornell just by himself. It's just him by himself. With a guitar. I can't even remember what else is in there, but it's very, you know, Jude just talking about like there's like darkness or whatever. This isn't necessarily, it's not necessarily a dark song, but there's definitely foreboding. It is a looming darkness quality to it.
Dave.
Yeah. I love how we're all,
he's saying
all
about suicide a lot.
Yeah, he did.
We've all turned into Matt Pinfield here today.
I mean, it was sad, but I mean, you kind of went, oh, he committed suicide? You went, yeah.
I don't know. It was shocking.
I don't know. This was pretty shocking to me.
The catalog. Yeah, but,
I don't know. This was pretty shocking. This was shocking to me. I read something. I wish I remembered the name of the post of it now, but it was basically about how depression, you know, never goes away. It can topple anybody, no matter how.
Yeah, and he had been clean and healthy for the last decade.
Well, that's the thing. He was a health nut. He had been clean for 14 years. He had teenagers. He had long-standing, you know, stable family. So, you know, I know that sometimes you don't know what's beneath the surface, but he was like the one guy besides Vedder from that era that you really felt like, yeah, he conquered his demons. He's super healthy and he's in a good place and he's cranking out music.
All right, Dave, favorite.
Or maybe it was autoerotic asphyxiation accident gone wrong.
Oh my God.
I don't know, but I'll never forgive him for his cover of Billie Jean.
Dave, do you want to give me a favorite Chris Cornell song album?
No, let's move on to Twitter questions.
All right.
I tell you what, I will throw this recommendation out since Dave abdicated an answer. I will fill something in. I go on YouTube and type in Chris Cornell 1. And he covers both the U2 song 1 and the Metallica 1 together.
Ooh. Interesting.
Oh, is that the mashups on the mashups album?
I don't know. Yeah. No. This was like a live performance where he's playing U2's 1, but he is singing Metallica.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to check that out. Okay, Dave, from Dale. There's no way to segue from that to Twitter questions, so we'll just do it. So he asked, does Adrian Peterson play this preseason? He's never taken a preseason carry before, ever. I don't know if that's true, but I'll assume he's correct.
I didn't know that about Adrian Peterson.
I don't know if that's true of early in his career, but I can say for sure over the last 5-6 years, the Vikings never play him in preseason.
I mean, I guess I would think that, that was different. When he was with the Vikings, he was the money man. He was their bell cow. As Adrian Peterson went, so go the Vikings. Obviously he's not the main feature in this offense now. And also, I mean, he's coming off of a pretty serious injury later in his career, so I think he kind of needs to prove himself and be just one of the guys.
I read an article about this when he signed, and they asked him about that, and he said he was open to playing in the preseason because he needed reps with the offense. And so he kind of stated that, yeah, I know I haven't in the past, but I kind of want to.
I
bet he ends up playing.
It could be like the Deuce McAllister 2002 year where the Saints were like, yeah, Deuce is the running back, and we think he's going to be awesome. and we're going to give him like four carries. And they gave him like four carries against Cincinnati and had like 70 yards. And they were like, it's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he have that 65-yard run?
Yeah, so they were like, that's good.
And then they were like, you're done.
You're done. See you in September, buddy. And maybe that'll be Peterson, but I think he's going to get three or four.
I remember Mike McCarthy was the offensive coordinator, and Deuce, like, first preseason game breaks that long run. He's like, all right, I've seen enough.
Yeah. This is from Balky, Andrew. Percent chance that Saints Twitter is right about P.J. Williams and you're wrong.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Twitter isn't even rational. Like, Twitter isn't even saying, like, yeah, he'll play 11 games.
Yeah.
In those 11 games, he'll be really solid. Not great, but just pretty solid. I mean, they're ready to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Dude, I got into a two-hour Twitter argument with people when I was just like, you know, P.J. Williams, he started one game. He kind of has the NFL experience of a rookie as far as playing in the actual NFL games. And you would have think I'd said that he had no legs. Like, people were coming at me from every which way. Kevin,
so the answer to the question, I would give it 2%.
Let's see. Kevin, what would it take for Bryce Harris to play in a regular season game this year?
Oh, God.
I mean, we ran through this before Juge joined the call. I mean, he's like 11th on the depth chart.
The Black Plague? Pestilence?
Basically, yeah. AIDS. Yeah. Wouldn't there have to be like a listeria outbreak at the training facility?
Stay away
before...
from the bluebell.
Basically.
This is an interesting question, Andrew. If one draft pick can be elite, but it cost us one early pick first, you have to pick one guy that's elite and you have to sacrifice one guy on IR. Who do you want to be
okay,
elite?
Okay, so one draft pick goes on IR?
Yeah, like you can make, if you make Lattimore elite, somebody's got to go on IR and it's got to be first to third round. Who would you want to be elite and who do you put on IR?
Well, Anzalone's going on IR whether we want to or not, so I might as well go ahead and sign up for that.
He's not wrong.
As far as who's elite, I want to say Lattimore, but I'm going to say that I'm confident in him being good on his own without me making him elite.
Yeah.
Like I think even if he's not elite, like I think he'll be solid. I think having an elite pass rusher changes this defense more than anything else. So I would say Hendrickson.
Yeah. Interesting. Dave, who is the bust of this Saints draft class?
Hendrickson.
Anal zone.
Anal zone. Anal zone career starts, Kevin. Over, under 4.5.
Career?
Career. Knowing that the last, like, five, if you take out Anthony, the previous, like, five Saints linebackers the Saints have picked have, like, less than five career starts between them.
Under, I say the trend continues.
Let's see. Dave, how many touches will Cadet have this season? And does he score more TDs than Ingram since Peyton clearly hates Mark?
I don't know whether Cadet makes the team, to be quite honest with you. If Ingram and Peterson...
No, he's like a cockroach, though, man.
He just lingers, man.
But... But seriously, I mean, assuming everybody stays healthy in the backfield, I don't know whether he even makes the team.
What's the biggest, this is from John Hendricks, Andrew, what are the biggest faux pas moves a fan could make at a Saints game, and who possesses the biggest threat in the NFC South?
Who made the, say again?
What's the
Sorry,
biggest,
faux pas, what?
What's the biggest faux pas a fan can make at a Saints game?
The biggest faux, I mean, throwing a beer.
I don't know. I think a faux pas, it'd be like, here's the biggest faux pas you can make. You can go to the Saints game and you can be wearing a jersey of a random team or a jersey from another fucking sport. Like, if you go to the Saints game and you're wearing a Durant jersey, you're a fucking tard. I'm just going to say it.
It always happens. You know, every Saints game you go to, Dave, you know this, there's always one guy in a Laron Landry Redskins jersey. There's always a Brady jersey. But I don't know if most of those guys are Saints fans. I think they're just NFL fans that
want to troll,
find their way to the Saints game. Yeah. I mean, if you're a legit Saints fan and you're doing that, you suck.
Yeah. If the O-line stays healthy, Andrew, with Armstead, Pete, Unger, Werford, Streif / Ramczyk, will we be a top five offensive line, and where could running game rank?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, top five. There's no question in my mind. Where would the running game rank?
The highest I've ever been under Peyton, I think, is six in 2000.
Yeah, I was going to say top 10. I mean, there's still there's the barrier of entry of just sheer volume of runs, you know, if Sean Payton's going to commit to it. But, yeah, top 10 for sure. I think offensive line, top five, running game, top 10.
Kevin, I save this question for you, and then we'll get out of here. I say General Lee belongs with the old Darren Sharper poster from Champ Square in the Museum of Politically Incorrect NOLA Hero. Who else belongs in there?
Edwin Edwards.
Harry Lee. They used to have like a painting of Harry Lee somewhere. He's got to be in there. Edwin Edwards has got it. Who else, Kevin? Who else?
I got one that you guys don't have.
Who?
You know the street performer on Royal Street, the older black guy, and he
dresses
up as Uncle Sam, and he
stands
still while he acts like he's walking a dog. do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that guy, just like I think last week, Kevin, you've heard this already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy, like last week, he was arrested and detained for murder charges for a murder that happened in 1974 in Florida.
In Florida?
Yeah. Yes. Now, I mean, this is obviously, I don't think he's been charged yet.
Allegedly.
But he has, I think they're going to extradite him to Florida or do whatever, but they're holding him.
It's a bad week for statues in New Orleans, man. Bad week.
It's well played.
That was funny. That was very good. But anyway, so he might wind up in that hall of shamed New Orleans.
Kevin, are we missing
landmarks.
Anybody in the hall of shame?
I feel like we're missing a lot.
Vince Marinello.
Vince Marinello.
How could we forget Vince Marinello?
Funny, I think I've told this before, but I have a Vince Marinello story. I think I've told this before, but I'll tell it again real quick.
Did you know him?
I worked with him because he would fill in for Buddy when Buddy would go on vacation at WWL, right? So he was filling in for Buddy, and we got Charles Grant to do an interview when he played for the Saints. This was like 2003 to 2005, basically, is when I worked there. So in that range. So anyway, we had Charles Grant on the show as a guest. And during the interview, like, Charles Grant is clearly, like, eating during the interview. Which, if you listen to this podcast, I don't give a shit. We eat all the time, man. It's part of the charm. Vince Marinella, he lost his fucking mind on the air and in the break. Like, he was in a rage. Like, he was being smart-ass, like, Charles Grant, like, what are you eating there, Charles? And Charles was like, chicken wings. And it just, like, made, like Vince Perna, like, went, like, his face turned red, and he went crazy. And I was like, that dude is weird. But that's my...
You're not surprised he killed
his
wife.
No, I was not. And that's my Vince Marinella story. I was like, that dude is weird. I'm just, like...
Well, did Charles Grant just break him in half, or...
I don't know, dude, but Charles, I mean, he was, like, you could tell he was eating, I mean, you know, we all...
Charles Grant was involved in a, wasn't he in the mix on a murder thing,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, he was.
No. I thought he was with somebody.
Body.
I thought he was,
a lady and she got stabbed.
Yeah, she got shivved. Yeah, he was in the middle of it, but he wasn't like blamed. So like it was just I mean, Vince Marino, like his face was like almost like purple. But anyway, so that wraps up the show. Hopefully the audio issues, I'll be able to resolve them and you'll be able to listen to this podcast. So go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got Quick Shot from Nick Underhill and other fun things. Dave's working on that Saints preview that he'll have up by Thanksgiving. And me and Kevin are on the Twitters talking all things. So until next week, the bar is closed.